going back again today to our topic of lining up with God's Word to receive healing. And in our teaching, we've been teaching, laying foundations concerning the healing. And we are dealing with the areas of divine healing. Dealing on the subject, well, we're looking at God's view concerning healing and what God's view and what God will do. We're talking about things that you must do, and one of the things that we talked about first of all was the fact that you have to believe, you must believe that it's God's will for you to be healed, for you to believe God for healing, to have faith. It's impossible. You cannot believe that it's God's will for you to be sick and at the same time for you to believe that God's going to heal you. That's an impossibility, because that's not faith. Faith, we found Mark 11:24 tells us when we pray, we're supposed to believe we receive it at the time that we pray. Well, you couldn't believe you received healing and at the same time believe God wants you sick. That would never, ever work. Many Christians and many people even say, well, they believe God can heal. Well, that sounds really nice, but that is really worthless. To believe that God can doesn't believe that mean that God will. You know, I believe that Bill Gates could give me $1 billion. He could, couldn't he? He has billions. He could give it to you, couldn't he? But you have no position to believe that he'd ever do it. Has he ever made a statement of any kind mentioning your name concerning that? See, there's no basis that you could trust. In other words, to believe God could do something, much of Christianity today thinks that's some kind of high faith. And that's where they get stuck at. They get stuck in that place believing God can do things, and they think that's a trust in God. Well, that means nothing. You know, we could take the most evil guy in the world and we could believe that he could do maybe something nice for somebody. He could. But that don't mean he's gonna. And so we have to remove that. People must come to the place of believing that it's God's will for them to be well. And that's where you get around, is looking into the Word, finding out what the Bible says. We can't live by our experiences, because our experiences can deceive us. Experiences can deceive you if they're not in line with the Word of God. Because most people believe anything that happens, it's the will of God. Well, God's in control, you know. So if it happened to you, if a meteor came out of the sky and hit you in the head, that was God. He was the one that lined it up. He was up there and he had his meteor sight on your head, and he made it come down and said, tomorrow this is going to drop on Josh's head. This is my plan and purpose for his life. Whack! You know, that's what people believe. You know, they just, you know, it's like, well, God's doing it to us, you know. And, you know, you get over that areas of thinking. Well, we got over, and if you, in laying down, and we can't go back all through the scriptures in that area, but now we're laying down the foundation of God the giver. And really the foundational scripture, the one that we looked at many, but the foundational scripture that we look at was from Hebrews 11 in verse 6, which says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, speaking of God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we found out that the person, without faith, I can't please God. Faith. Well, what is faith? Well, faith is believing that God was going to do whatever it is you said he was going to do, believing he would do it for you. Jesus told his disciples concerning faith. He said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say are going to come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. That's speaking about what faith is. That's what faith. Faith is not, well, if God's timing or God's whatever. That's not what it's speaking of. Here, so it's impossible. In other words, if I'm not in faith, I forget who had said to me. Somebody had said to me, they were listening to a preacher, and the preacher told them, said, "Well, you know, you're going to have a little doubt. You know, you're going to have a little doubt." Well, Jesus never said that. Jesus said that if you believe something in your heart, say it with your mouth, and you don't have any doubt in your heart, he said, then you're going to have what you say. You can't let doubt in your heart. You might have doubts going on, trying to go on in your mind, but in your heart, you cannot have doubt and have faith work, because if there's doubt there, doubt is unbelief. Unbelief means that you're not in the place of faith. You wouldn't have unbelief if you were believing, would you? You would, in your heart, if your heart believed God, would your heart have unbelief then? Well, that's an impossibility. You can't have belief and unbelief. You got to remove unbelief to have belief. Now your head may have a lot of thoughts running through it. He's talking about your heart. Your heart, in heart, faith's always in the heart. So, believing, it's impossible. In other words, you cannot believe God for, you cannot have healing if you can't operate, if divine healing if you can't operate in faith. It ain't gonna happen. It's impossible. It's impossible to have it. Now, but he said in there, he comes to God, must believe that he is, and we talked about that. He isn't talking about God is or God exists. Some translations even say that. That's nonsense. Somebody who didn't believe God is, they wouldn't be coming to him. I mean, that's absolutely stupid. God is or God is whatever you ask for. If we look down through Hebrews 11, these were all people that were believed God for certain things. They believed God was that to them. That's what he was. You must believe. If you don't believe God's a healer, you can't come to him. If you don't believe he is the healer, he's your healer. You can't come to him. He said, you must believe. Here's something you must believe. You must. He didn't say this is a nice thing. If you could come around to do this, it'd really be good. He said, you must believe that God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, if you respond to him in faith diligently, you're going to get what you ask for. There's no such thing as I asked for God, he didn't give it to me. Well, you might have asked out of your head, but you've never asked by faith. If you ask by faith, you believe God is always a rewarder, and we're looking at the fact that God is a giver. That's what he is. God's desire is to give. You're supposed to believe that God is a rewarder. That's what you're supposed to be believing. He rewards you. When you come to him, he rewards you. You got to get that into yourself that he rewards you. Remove it from your mind that God does not want to reward you. We looked how God, being the giver that he is, that God in his graciousness, his most willingness to give. Last week we talked about the subject of love, that we can look at the fact that love's a giver. God is love, and God, we found looking at scriptures, God is a giver. Love is always giving. Even from salvation, just getting born again, God was a giver. God looked at man and provided salvation for man because of love. It says God so loved the world, that's why he did it. In other words, love makes you a giver. We don't find that love's a taker, love's a giver. That's one of the things that I always had a hard time understanding, even the areas of giving. I never understood Christians that didn't like to give, because I never understood it, because when I got born again, you know, the love of God was shed abroad in my heart, and I had this desire to want to give. And when somebody don't want to give, well, I want to tell you what, they got a love problem. I don't know if they got the same spirit I got. Because when I got this spirit, I got this born again, I had a desire in me to give. That's the nature of it, is to give. I'm not seeing somebody out there sick thinking, boy, I'll tell you what, let's put something worse on them. I'll tell you, let's give them something worse. You know, let's do something really bad for them. You know, it's like, come on. But you know, it's in that area, and we looked at love, and we saw that love is a giver, and that's what it is. You know, is love gives, and we see God and his giving and God run hand in hand. You know, God, we looked at fact in scriptures where, you know, Jesus made this statement about, he talked about evil people. He said, you guys being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more your Father which is in heaven. He said, when your son comes and asks you for bread, you don't give him stone. You know, he asks you for a fish, you don't give him a scorpion. He said, you don't do these things. And he said, you're evil people. In other words, he said, how much more your Father in heaven give good things? Surely most Christians believe God's giving bad things. They do. Most Christians are believing God's giving bad things. That's why stuff don't work for them. They don't really know God. You got to get to know God and God's desire to do good. I mean, think about it. Even sinners in the world, the Bible talks about God. He said, he even causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. People who don't deserve a good thing, he still does a good thing to them. So, if we're having drought, who sent it? Would it be God? Did God send a drought? Well, if God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, is God holding the water back? No. See, people live like hell and the devil dominates, but it ain't God holding it back. I personally believe this. I believe a sinner could go and sit down and get rain on his head by saying, look, God, you said you give rain on the just and the unjust, and I ain't having no rain. Are you that God or what? Well, is it in the Bible? Does he say he does it? Well, if he's holding water back from the unjust, then he lied in that statement, didn't he? God's not withholding. He's not withholding. He said, I caused the rain. He causes rain to fall even on unjust people. That's what he says. Well, this is one thing, is I know God ain't holding back rain. I know it's a lot of ignorant people down here that don't understand God, and the devil does something. You know, people live in sin. They open the door for the devil to do stuff. And if we do that and we blame it on God, well, if God's the one that's made a drought, I might as well forget about having a prayer meeting to get rain. It's God. Why would I be praying to God? Oh, God, don't do what you want to do. Oh, God, we don't want your will. Your will is for us to have drought, and anything, I hate your will. Give us rain. I want to get out of your will immediately. Now, if you tell people they're doing that, they wouldn't. Oh, they'd say, "Well, you're talking extreme." But really, that's exactly what people are doing. They're asking God to quit doing what He's doing, and if He's doing it, it's His will, isn't it? If He's doing it, it'd be His will. And they're trying their best to get out of the will of God. That's why I always say, if you believe God made you sick, if you go to a doctor, literally, it's a sin. It is literally sin. It would be a sin to try to get the will of God off of you. If you truly believed it was God's will for you to be sick and you went to a doctor, you're in sin. You're in sin. You should not. You should say, man, sickness, run your course even if it kills me and I suffer terrible. Go ahead and do it. It's the will of God. Well, I ain't going there. So we don't want to do it. But God's good and love's a giver, and God gives. And he's a good father. And he always does what's good. He's always doing good. Now what we looked at the last time, we began to look at examples. We looked at the woman with the issue of blood. We went through hers, looking how she came and really following the principles of Hebrews 11:6. She followed the principles. She came and she expected to get healed. She expected when she showed up there. She believed. She was operating in the areas of faith. We saw that she was in faith. She believed and she followed, acted upon that faith. And she was rewarded. Her faith was rewarded. She didn't come and not get it. You know, Jesus didn't come. You will not find anything in scriptures, any place where Jesus denied somebody healing. He said, no, it ain't my will for you to do it. Sometimes people need to understand that. People don't get healed for many reasons, but it's never because it wasn't God's will. Most of the time, it's people's own ignorance. They're not in the areas of faith. They never come to the place of faith. They never really trust God saying they are, but they never really do. And so I need to find out what my side of it is. Most people are always looking on the God side of it. I remember Kenneth Hagin told a story I have it on, you know, MP3s and stuff that I got. Still have the stuff. But he talks about a woman who had cancer. And it was a pastor's wife, and she had cancer. She had breast cancer. It was really severe. Anyhow, she is dying. Things where she was bedridden. And him and his wife and the pastor, who his wife is there, and another pastor and his wife came to their home and decided they were going to get before God and pray for this woman. And I mean, they were going to spend time in fasting and prayer seeking God about this thing. And they had spent a number of days of fasting and praying and seeking God. They had somebody was always praying around the clock, was with her praying. They had always had like people take turns sleeping and people would be praying. And they were doing this with this woman. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. And Kenneth Hagin, the one morning, got the other pastors together. He got the pastors, two pastors together, and he said to them, he said, look, he said, I have never prayed this long and not heard from God. And he said, we're missing it here somewhere. And he said, I think I know where we're missing it. And I'll tell you, when I heard this story, this absolutely changed my spiritual life. It changed everything of my approach to God. He said, we keep praying about the sending side. And he said, the problem ain't on the sending side. He said, the problem's on the receiving side. See, most people are praying, and this is what people do, always looking on the God side, trying to get God to do, and most of the time it's what he's already done. And they keep dealing like God's the one holding out. The reason it isn't, we haven't got it from him yet. he said, and he said to him this, he said, if I was, went out to my car and started my car and turned the radio on and it wasn't working and I turned through the stations and it's not receiving anything, he said, I wouldn't go down to the radio station and said, something's wrong with your radio station, my radio don't pick it up. He said, there's something wrong with my radio. There's something wrong with the receiving side. In other words, we've been praying about that out there instead of God. It isn't God holding anything back. We ain't paying attention down here. Our radio ain't working. In other words, they really weren't operating in an area of faith. They were acting like God was holding back. They had prayed for days, like, oh God, heal this woman. Oh God, you know, blah, 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 doing that. They were doing that thing. He said, when we go into this room and begin to pray, he said, let's focus on the receiving side, on our side. We need to know where we're missing it. He said, we got in that room and started praying. He said, we weren't in that prayer in no time. And he said, my wife was kneeling by the head of the bed where this woman was. And he said, I was down at the foot of the bed, kneeling down there praying. And he said, my wife stood up, she had never opened her eyes, turned and walked down to the end of the bed and stood by me and began to speak in other tongues. And he said, when she spoke in other tongues, he said, I interpreted, I knew what she was saying. And the Spirit of the Lord said in those tongues, he was supposed to command a foul spirit to leave her in the name of Jesus Christ and for her to get up out of the bed. And see, when they got over, so it was on their side. See, they weren't paying attention. Oh, God, heal this woman. Oh, God, heal this woman. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. You know, oh, she's a wonderful woman. Oh, dear God. You know, and they're praying and they're doing. But see, their whole focus is wrong. They begin to focus on the receiving side and they started listening. God, what are you saying? See, most people pray and never pay any attention at all what God's saying. They're doing all the talking. They don't ever listen to hear what God said. When he listened to what God said, the Lord spoke through his wife. He got up, stood up in front of the woman, told that foul spirit to leave her in the name of Jesus. And he said, he saw like a black thing, almost like a bat, flew up out of her and went out the window. He said, one pastor was standing by the window, and he said to Brother Hagin, he said, something just went by me. He didn't see what it was, but he knew it went by him. And the woman was instantly healed, and he said, you know, she was in such bad shape, she couldn't lift her arms or do a thing because her breast cancer was so bad in her chest, and that said her muscles were just, you know, eating up and things. And he said she raised up her arms and started praising God and got up out of bed, went out and sat down at the table and ate with them. See, in other words, they had to deal with a demonic power. There was something they needed to do, but they're not paying attention. Sometimes a person be healed, you don't have to deal with a demonic power, but I know sometimes you do. Sometimes the Lord has told me I had to deal with a demon. If I didn't deal with the demon, it wasn't going to change. Had to deal with a demon. There was a demonic problem going on. You had to deal with. Sometimes you don't. Jesus, you see, sometimes he dealt with demons. Another time it said, you know, in his presence, it says demons would leave people. He never said a thing about it. Says he prayed for the sick, and he said demons would come out of people. In other words, the healing anointing would cause certain demons to leave. But I don't know why it is, but some demons will not leave that are actually causing things to go wrong in people's bodies, but you've got to deal with them and cast them out. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes a demonic power will leave by the healing anointing, but sometimes it don't. You've got to cast them out. People say, why is that? I don't know. Ask God. I ain't got a clue. All I know is you listen to God. It isn't important for me to understand why other than to listen to God, know when to do it. That's what's important. And see, people get focused over an area. I've had it ready. I had a good minister friend of mine. His wife died. I knew this. His wife had a demon that was causing her all her arthritis problems. Now, not everybody has arthritis has a demon. But she did. It was a demonic power. It was really tormenting her, and that was the cause. And that had to be dealt with, and I talked to him about it. Oh, no, my wife, you know, we've repented every sin we have. She couldn't have a demonic problem with that. You know, she couldn't. See, he got over in teaching. He didn't understand the fact. They don't have a demon in their spirit. They're a Christian. But a demon can get attached to your mind or your body. It can. If you don't guard yourself, many Christians end up bound by the devil and have demonic powers dominating their life because they open the door to it. They open the door, and unless that demon's dealt with, it ain't going to change. That happens. Well, with her, it was dealing in the areas of that. And I tried to talk with him, and he wouldn't do anything about it. And I'll tell you, they prayed, had fasting groups pray for her. They had, 60 people praying and doing all that. She died. Well, I knew she wasn't going to get healed. That demon had to be dealt with. God told me. I knew it. I've never had a time that there has been a demon problem with a person. God ain't told me about it. I ain't never had a time about it. He always tells me. Well, I don't believe he just tells Ed. Ed'll pay attention to it. Most people won't. They'll just keep hammering the same old dead horse all the time, just keep doing it the same way and won't quit. You know, and it's learning to deal with things. Well, they did. By listening, they listened what to do. And, you know, they didn't get over and decide the thing of, well, we're just going to do it our way, you know, and that. And so we need to understand that God, it's always God's intent to heal. Sometimes we don't hook up with it. It's us. It ain't God. God's intent was to heal. If they wouldn't have listened to God, that woman would have died. Think about that. Pastor's wife would have died. And people say, well, God had a purpose in that. No, he didn't. The will of God wasn't carried out. It was never done. It was never done. If it's God's will for all to be saved, which we always say we believe that, then any sinner that ever leaves this earth, that wasn't the will of God, was it? It never was the will of God for them to leave the earth. That was the will they chose. If God was in the killing business, I want to know why he, through the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, Paul said, I'm doing this by the Spirit. He said, turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. If God's doing the killing, why would you turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh? If God does the killing, he don't. The devil does the killing. God said, well, he wants to follow the devil, let the devil have him. God, the devil will kill him. And he said, you know, hopefully he, you know, really dealing with the areas that he'd repent. 2 Corinthians, we found out the guy repented. And it told him to receive him back. You know, the devil got a hold of his life and changed everything. Hold it, I want to get back, get this straightened out. But let the devil have him a while. Let his daddy have him. The one he wants to play with over there, let him have him. Why? He learned God. What did he learn out of the deal? God wasn't bad. God wasn't trying to kill him. He learned God's good. He went back to God for life. He didn't go back to God for death. The guy that's trying to kill you, are you going to go back to him for life? Well, that's what most Christians are doing. The guy that's going to kill him is the guy that they're going to try to get life out of. God's up in heaven and he got these dice. I think they're fixed mostly. He's got shaved dice. And he rolls them up there to see, well, are you going to get good or are you getting bad today? I get sort of see people really, they don't see themselves doing that, but in a sense, I think that's what a lot of people are by God. You know, he's got the dice, but they are fixed. Usually they're fixed against us. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to look at a guy today who came to God. We want to look at this because God's willingness to heal. We're going to look at this story in Luke. Luke, the seventh chapter. We talked about the fact that it's always God's will to heal. We look at Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. God's will is always to heal. Jesus said, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father doing. In other words, this is God. Jesus, if Jesus never made anybody sick, then I know this, that God never makes anybody sick. Because if Jesus didn't make anybody sick and he was doing the will of God, he was doing a false will of God. It was false. Because he should have been making some people sick. You know, isn't it interesting? John said that if everything that Jesus did could be written in books, he said he didn't know if the world could contain them. Now, you would think that if Jesus was making some people sick, that surely we would have an account on that, wouldn't we? Or did the apostles just lie to us and just put the good side and didn't tell us the bad side? Maybe they were fraudsters. Maybe these guys were liars and cheats and thieves. Maybe they were. No, I don't believe that they were. I believe they were doing exactly what the will of God wanted them to do and revealed to them and revealed to us God's purposes and God's plans. Hallelujah. God's plan is for you to be well. Be convinced of that and convince people of it. Always convince people. Now, in Luke, the seventh chapter, in verse 1 says, Now, when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And it says, a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof." He said, "Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes; to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And my servants do this, and he does it." Now, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. Now, we want to look at this as we found out this thing is back in the beginning. We want to look at this. One of the things we see, it says, so when he heard about Jesus, in other words, this guy heard. Now, understand, this is a centurion. It's a Roman centurion. Actually, he's living in Israel. He's probably, you know, was sent there by Rome and probably held it up a garrison or something there. He was a centurion. So he headed up a garrison of troops that were there. But he ended up converting to Judaism, that religion. He ended up converting to it. But now understand, he's not a Jew. There's things that he understands about this, and you'll understand why he did what he did because of his understanding of the Jews, because of the Jewish religion concerning the difference between a Jew and a Gentile. I wish I could get Christians to understand them being a difference between God's children and the devil's kids. Most Christians ain't got a clue. That's why most Christians have all the problems that they do, is because they see themselves just like everybody else. This centurion was much smarter than most people. I mean, today, he understood the division between who was under the covenant and who wasn't. He converted the religion, but he was not born a Jew, so there were certain rights and privileges he did not have because he couldn't ask for them nor have them with God because he was not born a Jew. You know, a Jew was not even allowed to enter the house of a Gentile. You know, and so we today, that doesn't mean we can't be go around a sinner. It doesn't mean that the new covenant. But see, Christians, they don't see who they are. They don't know who they are. They think they're just like everybody else. You know, I'm just like... And they expect to happen to them just like it happens to everybody else. And that's why things do happen. Because that's what they expect. They're expecting things. They don't see themselves. The Jews saw themselves as a different people. That's why they were really hated. They think they're too good for us. See, they wouldn't go down and hang out with the heathen. They weren't supposed to. We're supposed to preach the gospel to the heathen. Most Christians live with the heathen. They practice what the heathen does. They don't see themselves as separated. Now, we're not separated from segregation standpoint. You know, we love the sinner. We're supposed to reach out to the sinner. Jesus ate with sinners. Jesus, though, the sinners weren't his buddies. Who he hung around with, the disciples. He didn't make the sinners weren't his buddy. He would go down to the bar and hang out with them, joking around with them and stuff. He didn't do that stuff. And so there was a difference. There was that separation. So this guy, but he heard about Jesus. Now, so faith comes. Now, look what he's going to do. He's heard things about Jesus. Now, he could not have faith. There's no faith involved here if he didn't believe that Jesus, you know, that what he was sending, you know, these guys to do would happen. In other words, without faith, it's impossible to please God. This guy heard, just like the woman with the flow of blood. This woman with the flow of blood, she heard about Jesus, and then she made some statements. We're going to find out, this guy's going to clarify his statements, what he said, what he believes. He's going to clarify it. So in other words, we're going to get to see, understand, faith, we listen to this guy talk, we listen to what he says and what he did, we know he has faith. Faith can be seen and heard. Faith is not invisible. Faith can be seen and heard, always. Understand that about yourself. Faith can always be seen and heard. A person who comes to me and says, and I've had over the years many times, people go, "I don't know if I'm in faith or not." I know they're not in faith because they're not doing things of faith, they don't even see it. They don't see it in themselves. They're saying the wrong things. They're doing the wrong things. They're believing the wrong things. And what happened? This guy here, we're going to see his faith. Didn't we see the faith of the woman with the issue of blood? She said she believed something. Her words were right. She heard about Jesus. I go down and touch the hem of his garment. I'll be made well. What did she do? She didn't sit at home and say, well, I'll tell you, I wish the ambulance would come pick me up, take me down there, but I can't find one to do it. And so I guess I just got to stay poor old me. No, she said, if I can do that, she went down and did it. You could see her faith. You could hear what her faith was saying. You could see what her faith that she talked and her faith that she did were identical. If what you're saying and what you're doing are two different things, ain't gonna work. Ain't gonna work. Ain't gonna work. Your faith, your what you're saying and what you're doing got lined up. See, these people did. Now watch him. Why does he do what he does? It says, and when they came, to, here's what happens. He said he heard about Jesus. So listen what he did. He sent elders of the Jews to Jesus, pleading with him to come and heal his son. He did this because he's a Gentile. He understands. He understands as a Gentile, he doesn't have a right to Jesus to come to him to ask him. So what he's going to do, he's going to say, look, these guys have the right to talk to him. I'm going to send them on my behalf to talk to him. They're Jews. In other words, he's just dealing with the standpoint of what he understands about the Jewish religion. He's sending these guys to go talk to Jesus. To tell, you go tell Jesus what I'm after. You tell him. You know, this guy is showing great reverence to Jesus. He's showing great reverence to Jesus. He's a Gentile. He's showing huge reverence to Jesus. He says, look, I'm a Gentile. I ain't even under the covenant. I have no right to come and ask you for anything. I don't have a right to ask you for anything. I know this without a shadow of a doubt. You can do this thing, and I'm sending these guys here, and they're going to tell you what I'm believing you'll do. So here's what he does. Now look at this guy. I really admire this man's operation. So these Jews say to him, and they went, they came to Jesus, these Jews, these elders, and they begged him earnestly. They said, look, Jesus, they said, concerning this guy, he said, whom you should do this. This guy deserves this. You know, this guy, in other words, you're going to tell him, say, no, look, this is a Gentile proselyte, and they're going to tell him, this ain't some fake thing this guy's doing just to get in, just to get something from you. See, many people come to God as fakes. They don't serve him, do anything to him, and then they come and try to get God to heal him. Look, God, I'm a pretty nice guy. I do this. And they ain't following God. This guy, look what they say about him. He said, this man loves our nation. In other words, he loves the Jewish people. I mean, that's a biggie. You don't find a lot of that today, even among the Christians, love the Jewish nation. Loads of Christians don't love the Jewish nation. He said, and what is it this guy wants? He built us a synagogue. Do you realize he ain't even allowed to enter that synagogue he built for them? But see, you know what? He has a witness in his heart that they're following the right kind of God. They're following the right God. And this man's doing what's right. In other words, this guy is devout to the religion. He's devout to Judaism. He's devout to the covenant of God. He's living it as far as he can as a Gentile. And you know, the Jews were told if a Gentile, he comes and follows, he wants to follow the God of Israel, they're allowed, you let him, he can come in and live among you. Now there's certain things he can't go up and go into the temple. He could go up to the part of the temple where they had the Gentiles could enter, which was the outer court. But the Gentile was never allowed to go into the court of sacrifice and all that stuff. Only a Jew could go there. Gentiles couldn't go there. Only Jews could go in that place. That's why in Jesus' day you found it. He said they had the court of the Gentile. That's a place where the Gentiles could come into. Gentile could come that far. But not just any Gentile. He had to be a clean Gentile. Like this guy here, I will guarantee you, he's been circumcised. He's following as far as he can the religion. So this guy here, they said, he built us a synagogue. He said, then Jesus went with them. Now listen to this. Jesus went with him. It says, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Listen, this guy says, see, he's following this thing. Look, I'm not born into your into this covenant. These, you're a Jew, I'm a Gentile. I'm not worthy you even come into my house. You know, this is a real honor to God. I mean, you know, God walked among the Jews and they never treated him this good. Jesus wasn't treated this good. This guy is showing high honor. He said, I'm not worthy that you should even do this to come to my house. I mean, just think of this. The Son of God's willing to go to his house. This man said, look, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not worthy of this thing. Because I'm not even in your covenant. See, a lot of people misread this stuff because they don't know the Jewish culture. They don't read. They read their little American stuff. And so Christians try to, you don't ever try to approach God like this. You need to understand this in its context. This is faith in the time that this man's walking in. If this guy would be alive today and born again, he wouldn't approach God like this. But he's operating in the faith of the area where he's at, what he's expecting to get from God. Now, it says, therefore, he said, but listen to what he says. I love this because he understands an area of faith that the Jewish people don't understand. Even his disciples don't get this. They aren't walking in this. Now, I want you to think about this. This guy is going to operate in a higher level of faith than even the disciples operate in. Because Jesus is going to say so. Listen. He says, therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. In other words, the reason I sent these other guys, I didn't find myself worthy. Look, I'm over here, you know, and I know your religion's right. I know that the God of Israel is the God. I know that. But you know, I'm not worthy to be asking for this. I'm a Gentile. So that's why I sent these guys. He said, this is, now listen to what he says to him, but you say the word and my servant will be healed. Now listen here. Here's his faith talking. Here's what he believes. He's coming to God in faith. He said, all you gotta do is say that my servant's healed and he's healed. That's all you gotta do. Say he's healed and he's healed. In other words, you don't have to come and lay your hands on him. You don't have to come and do any of this kind of stuff. If you just say the word, if you just say he's healed, he's healed. Now, I want you guys to get this. The reason I'm going and doing all this teaching on the word is because all this I'm teaching you is you already got the word, you're healed. This man is operating in the highest level of faith. There is not a higher level of faith that we're operating in than this level. This is great faith. I remember when the first time I heard Kenneth Hagin say it. Kenneth Hagin said to be healed in any other way, he said it's not the highest level. He said the highest level of faith that any Christian can operate in or any person could ever operate in would to believe what the Word of God says and just take the Word at its face value and believe it and receive it. He said that's the highest level of faith. That's why this guy hasn't seen this. Jesus hasn't seen this operated in Israel. All the people are coming to him. They have to touch him. They have to do different. Here's the centurion. He said, no. He has to lay hands on him. They're asking him to do things. There's nothing wrong with that. Praise God. Get it the way you can. But he's saying here, he's showing you, he just takes me at my word. You need to understand, Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the word. If the Word says that you're healed, if the Word says Himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, then that's it. I come to the place to realize that He took it, then He took it. I'm not waiting for Him to take it. I'm never waiting for Him to take my sickness. That has already been done. I just believe what the Word says. Believe what the Word says. That's the highest level. Do you ever think about that? Most of us, at some time or another, we all got born again just believing the Word. How many of you had Jesus appear to you and lead you to Him and you got saved through a vision or a dream or something? No, somebody preached and you believed what the Word said. You didn't have somebody come and lay hands on you to get saved, did you? Nowhere in the Scriptures you do that, do you? You believe. So you, at one time, all of us acted on the highest level of faith. Why is it we come into the kingdom on the highest level of faith and then we try to find the lowest denominator of faith that we can find to live from there out? You ever think about that? But I understand this. That's what people are taught to do. People are taught, and so we shouldn't expect out of people what they're, you know, they're not taught any different. You can believe the Word. You've already done that. You've caused the greatest miracle to ever take place in your life. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus just by believing what the Bible said. And he told you to confess Jesus as Lord, and you were dumb enough to do it, believe it, and did it, and you got saved. You did what the centurion did. Did Jesus have to come to your house? No. Did somebody have to? No. You did that. Nobody could get you saved. You didn't get saved by a special gift of the Spirit. You got saved by believing what the Word said, saying what the Word said. And you did it. So, you have already acted in this area, so this I want you to know. You can do it, because you've already done it. See, don't let the devil ever try to get you over in the corner and say, well, you're never really going to get good at it. So I'm sorry, devil, I've already done this. And it works. I know it. I know it. Hallelujah. So get yourself over. You can operate there. You can operate in that place. So don't get yourself over that you can't do this. But I want you to see what this guy said is understand this. And here's how to understand what he said. When he told Jesus, he said, for I'm a man placed under authority. Now, look what he says. I'm a man placed under authority. He didn't say I'm a man in authority. This is why most people don't understand the kingdom of God. And this is why most people, things don't work right. You need to understand this. You are under the authority of God. You're not in it. We've been given authority, but you're never operating in authority that's yours. It's always its authority it's given. Jesus operates under authority that he's earned. It's his. All authority in heaven and earth was given to him, but it's given to him on the basis of earning. You and I operate on no authority that we've earned. We got born into the kingdom, and we were just given the authority because now you're God's child, so you were just born into it, and it was handed to you on that basis. Now you are under authority. Now look, we're under the authority, like I was preaching on Sunday about the name of Jesus. See, we've been placed under an authority. This man understood this. This soldier didn't say, this centurion didn't say, look, I have all this authority over these other guys. He said, no, I'm under authority. In other words, there's an authority over top of me who has delegated me his authority. What I operate under is what's delegated to me. Now, I'm under authority. Now, under this authority, here's how it works. And you need to understand this. This is exactly how the kingdom of God works. This guy has stated a spiritual principle because that principle is seen in the natural realm all the time. You go work for a company. They give you a job to do, and they put you under authority to do that job, and they allow you to operate in that realm of that job. Now, if you go do something you ain't supposed to be doing, you get in trouble. But if I operate under the authority that I have, that place, I could do whatever it is to take care of that job and do it. Now, this man's given a job by Rome. He's a centurion. There are men under him. How does he control these men? He don't say, I control these men by a stick. I beat them. I control these men because I get my sword out every once in a while. I kill one of them just to show the other guys how bad I am and I'm in charge. I do all this stuff. He understands this. You know, he doesn't have to do that to soldiers. And you know why? Because if they disobey him, his authorities, who gave him the authority, who he's under, they'll deal with those guys. See, you need to understand this. Christians are trying to make the devil do stuff. They're trying to do this. I don't have to force him to do a thing. What I tell him to do, he has to listen to my word, because if he don't, God's going to deal with him. He knows it. Sickness will obey you if you use your authority which you're under. Sickness can't stay because the authority over me said it's not allowed to. The authority over you. Now I want you to understand this. You don't have authority concerning sickness and disease, and Jesus lied. Jesus said you'd lay hands on the sick and they recover. You have authority over sickness. It was given to you. That's authority you're under. You don't have to go out and beat the sickness out of you or do something. You command it to go, and it's going to have to leave. This man says, look what he says. I'm placed under authority. Now this authority I'm under, he says, this soldier is under me. He said, I say to one, go. I say, well, go. And what does he do? He goes. Why do those soldiers go? Do they go because there's nobody in the garrison that is tougher than the guy in charge and couldn't beat him up? No. I'll guarantee you, there's other guys around probably lick him. They don't obey because of that. It's because of the fear of the authority that he's under. This guy that gave him the right to tell them what to do, they'll come down on him then if they don't listen to this guy. You know, I worked at Reese's. If I'd employee wouldn't listen to what I told him to do, we just take him to next step up, highest authority over him, let them deal with him. I didn't have to sit and fuss and fight about it. I'd say, you just come with me, you're going to talk to somebody. Now, these other ones, they'd sit around, fuss and fight, trying to act like, you know, they're, oh, I want to prove to this guy I can make him do what I want to do. I don't care. I ain't got time with that. We got a job to do here. You send that guy over there and let him punish him. See, you need to understand it. You're under an authority. Who is that authority that you're under? See, most people keep trying to make things get done by themselves. This guy understood something. He understood that sickness and disease, these was under the authority of Jesus Christ, and if Jesus Christ told it to go, it would have to leave. He knew that. It was going to have to do it. It couldn't stay. It couldn't do it. He knew that. And he said to me, he said to this guy, he said, you know, I tell this guy to go, he goes. He said to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. He said to Jesus, it's as easy as that. He said, I'm a guy under authority. See, most of Christianity is always talking about, they talk about their authority, but when they talk about it, they're always talking about it as if it's something theirs, and they're always trying to make it work. I don't make my authority work. My authority never came to me. It's never been mine. I'm operating under authority that's given to me. I'm under that authority. And that authority means giving me the right to say, sickness, you can't be hanging around Ed. Sick devil, you can't be hanging around Ed. You got to leave Ed alone. That's the authority that we were put under. This guy understood that. You see, when we got saved, how did I get saved? I get saved under my authority? No, I just agreed with the authority that said if I confess the name of Jesus, who is the authority? If I can believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, I'd be saved. Well, see, my authority didn't get me saved. I operated under the authority of those words. And who made it come to pass? Well, it sure wasn't me. I couldn't get me saved. I can't save me. I can't make me go from death unto life. I can't do that. I can't take me out of the kingdom of darkness and put me into the kingdom of light. I don't have no ability to do that. Like Kenneth Hagin used to say all the time, I can't heal the sick. The Lord told him one time, he said, what Christians' problems is they keep trying to heal the sick. He said, they can't heal the sick. He said, I heal the sick. He said, don't take any pressure on you whether they get well or not. That's not your problem. He said, that's my problem. He said, I'm the guy that deals with it. I'm the healer. You're not. See, when you get around to understand that, you're under the authority. That's why the Lord told me. He said, everybody you lay your hands on, the healing power of God is there to heal them. But whether they receive it or not, that's up to them. He said, that ain't up to you. He said, but it's always present. He said, I told you to lay hands on the sick and recover. Well, if the power of God ain't there to heal him, then Jesus Christ lied. He lied. Well, he didn't lie. Power of God's always present. Any Christian can lay hands on the sick. The power of God's always present to heal. If you're a Christian and you're in present, well, then the power of God's present because he told you to lay hands on the sick and they recover. So it's there. And as we told me, he said, when you lay hands on people, you tell them the power of God's there present to heal them. It's there. Now they got to do something about it. See, so many people, they're holding prayer meetings trying to get the presence of God there. When they got the presence of God there, they don't even know it. People are trying to get what they got. It's nonsense. We don't think right. We don't think properly. You know, I don't have healing power, per se. I am under the authority of the one who has the healing power, and he said to me, I can use his healing power. In other words, I can lay hands on him. But I don't decide who gets healed. I don't make people get healed. I don't make them get healed. I don't do it. My job is to act in faith. The healing power of God is here, is present. And I'm supposed to act like that's true. See, most people don't act like it's true. Well, we're going to pray and see what God's going to do. Well, that's just acting like he ain't going to do nothing. No, he does something, but people are waiting for a feeling and everything else. They're waiting for, you know, a sign from heaven, or maybe we'll see fire fall or something, or, you know, we'll see, you know, they want to see something, or they want to feel something. And is acting in this area. This guy operated on a big level of faith. And when Jesus, it said, heard these things. In other words, Jesus, he marveled at him. And he turned around and said to the crowd that followed him. You know this crowd who followed him? You know this? He's talking to Jews. This is the crowd. He's in Capernaum. Capernaum is a Jewish city. in Galilee. He says, oh, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. In other words, I ain't found a Jew yet. I've been living for over 30 years in this place. I've been walking around down here. My ministry started when I was 33, and here I am down here the last 3 years of my life. I'm walking around. I've lived in Israel, and I ain't never seen anybody in Israel have this kind of faith. See, people are thinking, oh, great faith to have a miracle, great faith. This is the great faith. Here's where great faith comes from. This is where great faith comes from. And so people need to get a hold of this. You need to get a hold of it and understand it about what great faith is. This is great faith, just believing. He said, Jesus, if you say my servant's healed, that's the last thing I need to hear about it. See, haven't we been teaching about healing? We've been teaching about God's will for you to be healed. God wants you healed. He wants you to receive healing. In other words, you're hearing the word about it. You're hearing the word saying it so. Now, I have a choice. Either I'm going to believe that, or I'm going to try to go get some other way or think some other way. And this is where people really don't understand divine healing. Divine healing operates out of this. This is what it operates out of. Believing what the word of God says. That's why faith comes by hearing. People can't have faith in God if they ain't heard. See, this guy heard about Jesus. He heard about Jesus. You know, one thing is, I know what he heard. I know he did this. We find Jesus did this. Jesus healed blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus. He kept yelling for Jesus, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And they told Bartimaeus to shut up. He wouldn't shut up. They finally bring Bartimaeus. Jesus said, bring that guy to me. Jesus asked him what he wanted. He said, I want to receive my sight. Jesus said, well, be it unto you as your faith is, buddy. The way you believe it. In other words, Jesus said, in other words, he said, do you believe I can do it? He said, yeah, you can do it. He said, well, according to your faith, be it unto you. In other words, the word spoken is enough. You believe I can heal you? Okay, well. And what did blind Bartimaeus did? Blind Bartimaeus believed the word. The Bible don't say Jesus touched him at all. Don't say at all Jesus touched him, and neither does it say that blind Bartimaeus touched Jesus. It don't say it. Now, everybody reads everything. Do you know this in Jesus' ministry? We don't have one account where Jesus ever prayed for a sick person. Do you know that? Do you know we were not told to pray for the sick per se? We were told to lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus. Now, we do have the fact that says, talks about ones coming anoint with oil. See, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. You can pray the prayer of faith. But the bad part about it, most Christians never pray the prayer of faith. Most people anoint people never pray the prayer of faith. They're praying and asking God to heal the person. That isn't the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is to believe you receive it. They never pray it. Jesus just commanded people to get well. Jesus just said things. Please touch people. Told them to be healed, but we don't have Jesus praying over people. See, we talk about praying for the sick, but see, really, we have religious traditions in the church. We have, now, you can pray, but you better make sure that you pray it right. You're actually praying a prayer of faith. This is why many people don't get healed. The prayer of faith's never prayed. The prayer of faith is never prayed. You know, I have people get all upset. I remember Kenneth Hagin used to walk down the line and just say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Walk down through. And people get up. Some people always get upset about that. They want him to stop and pray a prayer over them. Well, you know, it's because they're religious traditions. God ain't moved by our religious traditions. He don't care what your tradition is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Don't say without our religious traditions. But Jesus didn't pray for the sick. We always look at the fact like he did. That's because of our traditions. And really, it's like Brother Hagin used to talk about, we read the Bible with our religious color glasses on. And so we read things into stuff that isn't really there. And I have not prayed a prayer to be healed in ages, you know, in years and years. I don't ever pray a prayer. I just say. You know, if I just sense something coming on me, I just say. Oh, no. I ain't having that in the name of Jesus. We ain't going there. That one don't belong me. Jesus took my infirmity, so I don't have it anymore. It ain't coming. It ain't mine. You'll have to go somebody else. This boy ain't having it. We ain't praying. I'm talking to it. I'm talking. So one thing is, I learned that God showed me this years ago. He showed me this. He said Jesus never prayed over animate objects. He never prayed about a storm. He never prayed about the tree he cursed. He never did any of that kind of stuff. He spoke to it. Sickness is animate. There's disease, sicknesses, there's viruses, they're real things. Maybe I can't see them with the eye, but if I had a magnifying, some kind of machine, I could turn around and see them. Whatever they use today, they use all kinds of different kinds of stuff today. But I could see them. They're animate things. I can speak to them. I can command them and talk. He did it. He did it to animate objects. He said, I can say to mountains. I can talk to flus. I can talk to viruses. I can talk to all kinds of, I can talk to those things. I can talk to bacteria. I can talk to them. Why do we pray over our food? Because if there's anything in there, we pray you. He says, pray. But what does he do? We pray what in line with the Word of God. We sanctify our food. Say the right things over your food. You sanctify it by what you say. In other words, those things that in there that are cause, might cause a problem, they won't cause a problem. You're talking to stuff. And so learn to do that. This man just took it to faith. Jesus was moved. It says in verse 10, and those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. So see, it happened as such. See, this guy did, he just did what Hebrews 11:6 said. This man did. He just followed. So, did he believe that Jesus was a healer? Did he believe that? Did he believe that Jesus was what he needed? He did. And he did. He believed that upon approach, he would get from Jesus what he wanted. He believed that. He believed that he could get from Jesus, and we see by his faith what he did. His approach was, he didn't come personally, he sent servants and said, look, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house, you just say the word, you just say it. His faith was speaking. See, we can see through his actions and what he said, just like the woman with the issue of blood. Everything lines up with this man. Everything lines up. That's why it worked. That's why it worked. Everything lines up. So many times I've seen people have good actions, terrible, talk. The talking's wrong. I've seen people have good talk, bad actions. Get them both right. Believe what the Word says. Start to say it. It's like this. You'll want to find this. In the Scriptures, I think it is 17, in the Gospels, there's 17 areas of accounts of individuals who were healed. Some of them, it's the same person, but it's given accounts given by a different writer, by a different thing. But there's 17 individual accounts. You need to understand this and get this. Every one of those accounts, now if they're personal accounts given, you need to understand it's done for a purpose. God don't do anything without purpose. They were given to show us individually how to be healed. They showed us individually. And you need to know this. Get a hold of this. Every one of those individual accounts, the person was healed exactly like they asked for. In the manner that the woman with the issue of blood, she determined whether how she was going to get healed. She determined she was going to do it by her touching Jesus. There's ones that came along. Like, Jairus, who was under that same account that took place, he said, if you come and lay hands on my daughter, she will be made well. So he went and laid hands on the daughter. The centurion came and said, you just say the word and I'll be healed. They determined. Did all God will determine how it's going to be done. I'm sorry, the keys are in our hand. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose. Those individuals determined how it was done. Blind Bartimaeus was one of them. He went to Jesus. He went to Jesus. Jesus said, now he didn't say it. He knew Jesus could heal him. He says to Jesus, Jesus says, do you believe I can do this? He said, yeah. He said, well, according to your faith, be it unto you. Bartimaeus acted on it. Well, okay, I got it. He acted on it. But he determined that. Bartimaeus could say, well, look, lay hands on me. Lay hands on me. You know what Jesus would have? If a person says, I have to lay hands on him, well, I'm going to have to lay hands on him. That's what I'm going to have to do. Now, I've had some people sometimes don't want to cooperate with God's word and do it. I remember years ago, it was a woman who used to come to our church. And she had back problems I remember laying hands on her, and she, came up. I was ministering to people for healing, and she came up. She had back problems. I laid my hands on her. The Spirit of the Lord said to me, tell her to start bending over, moving around, doing this. And I said to her to do it. She wouldn't do it. She said, no. She said, I don't want to do that. I don't, my back bothers me. I don't want to do that. I said, well, you don't have your back problems. I just moved on to the next person. So you ain't going to obey. Obedience. But see, what her problem was, she didn't want to act on what was right. She didn't want to act on it. She didn't want to act on what was true. She wanted to say, I want to be healed, but she didn't want to have any actions to it. See, she wasn't going to use anything. God was trying to get her to have actions to act like she received it. See, most people, they'll turn around and they'll say, I'm believing God for healing, but they will never act like they are healed. They'll never act like it. They'll never do that. They'll never act like it's so. They'll keep acting like it is. Well, the doctor said, I ain't allowed to do none of that. I can't. Well, I'm not allowed to eat that kind of stuff. I can't do that. I believe I'm healed, but I can't. So Kenneth Hagin told a story about a woman who she had stomach problems. I forget what it was. I don't know if it was ulcers or what it was. It was terrible problems in the areas of her stomach. He laid hands on her and prayed for her and told her she's healed. She said, well, I said, she had been for years, just eating baby food and stuff. You know, most of it, she couldn't hold things down in her stomach. And he prayed for her. She said, well, I was healed. She said, and then this took place at Rhema. And she said, I told her that she was healed. And in fact, he administered her in prayer and healing school. That's what he did. And now she had no signs that she was better, that if she ate something. She said, well, if I'm better, she said, then I can go eat something. She said, I'm hungry for Mexican food. And across the street, they used to have a Mexican restaurant across the street. Ain't there no more. She said, she went across there and ordered a Mexican dinner and sat down and ate the whole thing. She said, what people won't do. They'll sit down and say, oh yeah, but well, I can't eat that stuff. No, I can't. See, they never act like they ever got it. They never act. They keep acting. I'm sorry, I'm still dominated by sickness. Don't you understand? Don't you get it? I'm still feeling bad. So I must not be healed. I didn't receive my healing. If I received my healing, man, I'd be so feeling good. Oh, if I really received it. They never act on it. See, that's why I learned about the action thing. The action thing's huge. It's big. Actions is big. And so that's what you want to do. Now we looked at this guy here and we'll end with him. But see, he just followed out Hebrews 11:6. He thought he's going to get a reward, and didn't he? Did God reward him? Or did Jesus say, I'm sorry, you scumbag Gentile, you get nothing. You did your best, but you ain't getting nothing from me. This man came by faith, and what? It is impossible. Impossible for a person to act in faith and God refuse them. It's impossible. It's impossible. Jesus could not deny this man. It's impossible. How could he deny this man if this man came in faith? How could he? He could not. He's pleasing God, isn't he? He's believing God's a rewarder. He believes God's going to give it to him. Jesus is going to say, nope, I'm sorry. Nope, I'm sorry. You can't have that. That's not for you. That's not for yours. And so he operated in line with the word, and he got it. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you this. See, I'm a child of God. I'm not an unbeliever. If a person, like with him, this guy was a Gentile, could get healed under a Jewish covenant, I'm going to tell you, Ed can sure get healed in his covenant. I'm in it. I'm a child of God. I can sure get it in this one. I ain't going to let some heathen outdo me. Hallelujah. So let's walk in the light of the word. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that name which is above every name, I thank you, Father, for encouraging on this thing. Father, we see this. It's just like Brother Hagin said, that Jesus told him, he said, I always do as much as I can to bless my people. And I look at this, Father, we're a Gentile walking as best as he understood, but he stood in faith and he got healed. You're a good God and you're a healer. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you for healing us. I thank you for making us strong in the name of Jesus. I thank you that our bodies are sound and whole in Jesus' name. And Father God, we approach you according to the word. We're going to have what the word says. We thank you for it. I thank you, Father. Father, I thank you that you'll ingrain these things into our spirit, because, Lord God, there's so many skeptics out here, even in the church, are skeptical of your goodness, skeptical of your mercy, skeptical of what you'll do. Father God, we want to be able to speak the truth to them, Lord God, and tell them about your goodness, because the word says that your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.